Monterrey in north central Mexico, and it's been a great privilege to go and to represent each one of you there. We had the privilege of the first year and a half, 2 years of doing an internship with Brother Danny Jones there at Bethesda Baptist Church, and then going to the first work, La Esperanza, at Hope Baptist Church, and then going from there to another work over in Niños Héroes, and starting another work there. Currently, we're out about 18 miles northwest of Monterrey, out in the Sierra Madre Mountains, in the foothills, in a small village mission. It's called Mount Olives Baptist Mission, and it's there where we are planning on going back to. We're leaving tomorrow, so we're planning on going back there this next week. And it's just been great to see what God has allowed Mary and I to do to help Christ in His effort. It has been 20 years now since in 1989, January of 1989, when we moved here from Connersville, Indiana. Miss Cook remembers that very well. We helped up there, up in junior church for a few years while we were in Bible college. And it's just been great to do the work of God and to see many, many children and their parents being saved and knowing that they too have a Savior and a place to go to in heaven. This evening, it's been my privilege to preach a message this evening with the title of We Have a Ministry. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. And while you're going there, the last work of Mount Olives Baptist Mission was not on the video, but we have a lot of pictures out on our display, along with our prayer cards, if you don't have one. And take time and go by and look at the pictures and the different things that we have there from Mexico. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And we'll read there. It says there, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word that you have given to us. Lord, that you have given us a privilege that we can take your word and send your word around this world. Lord, we just ask you tonight to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the message that you have for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Therefore, it says there in verse 1, seeing we have this ministry. Now, I know that many of us here in this building, we're not able to go around the world taking God's word to other countries in other languages. But to us that have the privilege and is able to go, God has caused us to rise up and to go and to preach and teach His word around the world. In my past life, in my past history as growing up there on the farm in central Indiana, I wasn't able to get up in front of a small group or a large group, even like that is here this evening. I had a hard time with the English language, Pastor Weaver. In junior high and ninth grade, I failed English. I had no idea what was going on. But it was in April of 1968, I think it was April 21st of 1968, I'd asked Christ to come into my heart. It was that year that I failed English and had to take summer school. I had no idea what God had in plan for me to do with my life. But it was also that same year in school that Mary and I met for the first time. And God started working there for us. I had no idea that at the age of 42 that Mary and I would be entering into a language school to learn a foreign language after I myself had had problems in high school with English. And I still have problems with English, mixing it with Spanish and Spanish with English. But God, it's God, it's not what we have done. It's all what God has done in our lives. And Mary and I have a ministry. It's not here in the United States of America. It's south of the border, about 140 miles, out in the mountains, walking on dirt streets in the summertime, in 120 degree temperature, or in January and February, walking in the mud, taking the Word of God to Christ. But that's the ministry that God has given to us. And we thank You for helping us financially and spiritually along the way. It says there in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." Now, while we were in Bible college, or while I was in Bible college here at Norris Bible Baptist Institute, we had a ministry. And that was working in the bus ministry. And Mary was working with the small children in one of the kindergarten classes, I believe it was, and in other places along the way. But that was our ministry. And also we worked in the bus ministry up in Indiana for 4 years, I believe it was, 4 or 5 years. And that was a ministry that we had at that time. And God was building on that ministry. And God was using that time preparing us for that place there in Mexico. Therefore, we have a ministry. I want to ask you tonight, what is your ministry? From the youngest boy or girl to the oldest person in this building tonight, or anyone else that hears this message, there is a ministry for you. It makes no difference whether you're standing at the door greeting people as they come in, shaking their hands and doing that work there, or in the nursery doing a work there with the babies and little children. You have a ministry tonight. We train the little children as we go out door to door, tapping on the gates with a coin. We train the little children, the ones that can walk, the 4 or 5 year olds on up, to take tracts and to give them out on the street as we go along. And they watch and they learn. And the youngest ones, they have a ministry there too. And I'm thinking of the other ministries that we do there in Mount Olive's Baptist Mission and in Niños Héroes and La Esperanza. As we walk them streets, as we train the people in soul winning classes, how the people responded, how the adults and the young people responded to the classes, and they would go out. And I'm thinking of a certain time of the ministry that after we had done the soul winning classes on a Saturday morning, we loaded our pickup truck. And it was right after a rainstorm that night. It rained horrible on Friday night. And the streets were muddy and it was just a big mess. But we loaded everyone up from the church there, and we took them out along the river, Rio Escondido, Rio Pesquería, the fishing stream. And it was an area that was very, very poor. The people, they build their houses out of anything that they can get along the river that comes down the stream. And we that was where we were going that Saturday morning. We drove through the mud and the water, and I parked out along the back street there as we got close to the river. We all got out. Some went on down the street. Mary and I, we stopped at a house there, and a lady come out and she asked what we wanted and what we needed, and we told her that we wanted to share with her something from the Bible. And she said, okay, that would be fine. I have time to do that. And we took her down the Romans Road. She got saved. Before we left, she said to Mary and I, you know, there has never been anyone come by and take God's word in our language and show me how to be saved. That day, that lady had asked Christ into her heart. The others that were with us out that morning, they were on down the street, and we caught up with them, and we told them what had went on back at the other house, and so we went on down the street giving out tracts and knocking on gates and doors. But the ladies, I wanted to see what the classes had done for them. And the ladies and the children and the young people that was in the classes, they went up to a gate. And there were three or four houses in a compound, I believe it was, a compound area. One of the ladies tapped on the gate and someone come out. Another lady come out and she started witnessing to her. And then another lady come out of another house back there in the compound. And this other person come up and started witnessing to her. And they, as they were leading these two people to the Lord, the classes had paid off. They had caught everything that had been taught in the class. And as that was happening, there was people walking down the muddy streets. And they was stopping. So this other lady turned around to another adult, I think it was adult or two, and she started witnessing to them. And another lady got saved that day, besides the other two that had come out. And then there was another lady that was, there was a bunch of kids that had come up. And God had given us that ministry to train and to teach and to help these people lead others to Christ. And as the one lady was witnessing to the children and telling the other children about Christ, I forget if there was three or four children there in the street standing in the mud that was about 2 inches deep. They was asking Christ to come into their hearts. It's a ministry that God has given to Mary and I. But what is your ministry? You may not have the privilege of going to a foreign country and walking streets like that and telling others about Christ, but there is a ministry that you can do here. If it's calling someone on the phone and inviting them to church or seeing how they're doing health-wise, that is a ministry that God has given to you and to me. And it's a ministry that God has given to us. The second part of that verse says, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry of such a spiritual and liberty-giving gospel, that we can go and to do what God has given to us and to share with others about Christ. It says there in another part of that verse, in the third part, it says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As we have received the mercy of God, brothers and sisters, we are to continue. Even though our physical body gets tired and it seems that we're not going to be able to go on, we faint not. Sometimes spiritually we get to where we think we're going to faint. But we faint not. We keep going back to the Word of God and looking there and looking for God's help as we go in our daily lives. Keep on keeping on. Keep on going. And we faint not, just as it says in here in chapter 4 and verse 14. It says there that we should go on, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're renewed day by day. How? Through God's Word. Through the praying to God, through talking to Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're renewed day by day. And we are to do that daily. We faint not if we stay in the Word of God. In verse 2, the first part of it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The hidden things of dishonesty. We renounce that. We've asked Christ to come into our hearts and save us. And I might say tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you too can be saved. Tonight, right here in this place, before you leave tonight, you can ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. Just as the people there in Mexico are being saved on a daily basis through all the missionaries and through the Spanish pastors, through the Mexican pastors that are there preaching and teaching God's Word. We're not walking. Let me see. In craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Pastor Weaver, I appreciate the message this morning that we're using the Word of God, not deceitfully, but we're using every bit of it from Genesis to Revelation in the churches, and we're training and raising up people that can go on before or go on after us after we have left this earth. But we're using the Word of God correctly. And we're seeking God's will on how to teach and how to preach God's Word. Not walking in craftiness as preachers of... not walking in craftiness, but as preachers of the gospel, preaching and teaching it right. You as teachers, are you teaching God's Word the way that the Bible instructs us to do? We're handling the Word of God correctly. Commending ourselves, preaching as in the presence of God and teaching God's Word as we're standing in the presence of God. And one day we will be standing in the presence of God. And we're going to answer personally for every word that we said and every word that we did not say. I myself will answer to God. And you too will answer to God one day. If you're here and you're lost, you will answer to God why you did not accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. We're handling the Word of God correctly and going on and doing His work. If I can separate my pages, we will go on. It says there in verse 3, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What would have happened if back in 1968, when I was saved, I would have never more told anyone about Jesus Christ and how to be saved? Oh, sure, there would have been somebody else come along went to the people that God had sent me to, was going to send me to, but they would go. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What if someone wouldn't have come to your house? Or what if someone wouldn't have invited you to church? Would you have accepted Christ? You never know. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What if back last year or the year before, while we were out on house-to-house visitation on Sunday afternoon, walking the streets, Pastor Isidro and his wife and Mary and another couple from the mission, what if we wouldn't have went to that house and talked to the two men that were sitting in the front yard drinking their, we call it Tecate beer? What if we wouldn't have went and talked to them and talked to them two men's children that was playing in the yard? At that time, we talked to the men and they were very respectful to us. They didn't accept God's word, and the children said that they would come to church with us that evening, that Sunday evening. And so we left there with the intentions of going back to the house and picking up the children. But you know, there's never such a thing as going to the wrong house. We went back to that house, Pastor Isidro and I, that evening with a van. And I got out. There was no men sitting in the front yard. There was no children playing in the yard. But there was a lady that answered the gate. She says, "You may not know, but as you were talking to my husband and his friend and with the children, I was inside listening to every word that you were saying." She said, "My husband and his friend is gone. The children are off playing somewhere out in the hills with the other kids." She says, "But can I go to church with you?" You never go to the wrong door. We picked her up and she went to church with us, and we told her that she'd be back before it got dark because of the area that we minister in and they live in. It's not safe. So we tried to get finished by dark. She went to church. She got saved that evening. She accepted Christ. And she was there in the church growing in God's Word. And then one day they moved away. But it's because we went to the house that no one accepted God's Word that afternoon. On that hot Sunday afternoon, that the heat was so unbearable. It was so hot. But that lady was saved that evening. It's the ministry that God has given us to. It's the gospel that if it was hid, that lady would not have been saved. And even though she was hid behind the door in the house, she asked Christ to come into her heart. Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now we know that Satan, here in this verse, is the God of this world. You know, since I took my glasses off, I can't read. Everything looks like chicken scratches. I can't make most of your faces out. But you know, that's the way the world is right now. Until we take the Word of God and present it to them, to this world, they're not going to be able to see what God has for them until they ask Christ, or until you ask Christ into your hearts, boys and girls, teenagers, adults. You won't be able to see either until you ask Christ to come into your heart. The gospel that is hid, it says, let's see, in verse 4, "In whom the gospel of this world had blinded the minds of them they won't be able to tell what church is all about. They'll see us coming and going, and the people out there in the area where Mary and I go out, it's called the Hormiguero. It's hills with people living in shacks of whatever they can get together. And they call it the Hormiguero, the ant hills, because of all the people and all the little houses that's there. But the people there see us driving in, and they know us, and they wave to us and say, "Good morning, preacher. How are you doing?" And you know, we respond back. That's because that they've seen us out walking the streets and doing the visitation in the hours that it's so hot or it's so cold out there in the Sierra Madre Mountains, that the people, they know who we are. And it's the same way in the other two areas that we had the ministry. They're in La Esperanza and Niños Héroes. They knew us by seeing us. They may not have knew our names, but they knew who we were. And it's because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not hid. Are you hiding the gospel tonight from your neighbor, from the people that you work with? The God of this world has blinded the eyes and the minds of the people. It says in the second part of the verse, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you know, that's what we are. We are gospel lights to this lost world. As we reach out around this world and take God's word in a foreign language or right here in the United States in the English language, we are lights to this world. I want to ask you tonight, how far is your light shining tonight? You heard in the video that we taught our people about missions and supporting missionaries. Their light is shining around the world. How far has your light gone? Maybe just across the street. Maybe not even that far. Is your light shining to your family members? Just this last summer, Mary and I, we were able to witness to her mother. She started asking us questions. And we talked with her and she got to telling us about the time that she asked Christ when she was a teenager to come into her heart and to be saved. The light of the gospel is going out to our families, to our grandchildren. We have three children. And some of you know Christy, Joey, and Brad. Christy has five children. If I get this right, Joey has six. Brad has seven. And most of our grandchildren, of the 12 grandchildren that live in Indiana, are going to the church that Mary went to when her grandmother took her to church when she was just a little girl. And the light of the gospel is shining and going out even down into the grandchildren. And they're being saved. And we had the privilege just last year to see three of our grandchildren accept Christ and be baptized, and then one nephew of ours to be saved and baptized while we were there in Connersville, Indiana. But the light of the gospel is to go out to our families, our personal families. It must shine, and it must shine to everyone in this world. Verse 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, our Christ Jesus, the Lord, for ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." And that is what each one of us is to do in our lives. To preach Christ. Not what we have done, but what Christ has done for us. God has allowed Mary and I, and it's not what we have done over the past 20 years, over the past 15 years as being missionaries, and then 12 years being on the field. It's not what we have done, but it's what God has done. It's what God has done that we are able to see these hundreds of people being saved and more that are being reached daily through the ministries that has been started in the glory of God. For we preach, not us, but we are to preach and to teach this word. You may not know enough of the Spanish language, but I'm sure there's someone that can help you with it, to go and to reach everyone. You may not know any German or anything else, any other language around this world, but there's someone that does and is willing and is there in a country doing God's work there. Support missions, as we have taught in Mexico, the Mexican people to have a heart for missions. Verse 6 says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God. It's the God of Genesis that spoke the world into place. It's the God of Genesis that spoke this universe into place. That it's that God that gave His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross for our sins and to be placed in a borrowed tomb and then to rise the third day. It's that God, boys, that died for you and me. It's that God that has allowed us to take His Word around the world. For God. And I'm thinking of another verse as I close. For God. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our ministry, and that is exactly what we teach on the foreign field there in Mexico. For the last 12 years, that is what we've been teaching, the Word of God. Tonight, as we have gone through this, we have a ministry. What's your ministry? Have you listened to God? There's a ministry for you. Do you know Christ? He's my Savior, and I want you to be saved this evening. Are you hiding the gospel in your life? Do others know that you are a Christian? They know. There's people out there watching. One day, as Mary and I was walking through Walmart, somewhere, I don't remember where, and I noticed, and being on the foreign field, you notice people that's following you around. And I noticed a lady that was following Mary and I around that one afternoon. It could have been in Mexico or here in the States. But we would go down an aisle and she would follow us in a distance. Mary and I, we wasn't dressed up like we are right now. We had everyday clothes on. And so we went around an aisle and we stopped at the end. And the lady come around the corner. And she knew I was going to ask her what she was doing. And she said, I noticed something different about you. What is so different about you two? What is there in your life that is different? People are watching us. They want to know what the difference is. They can see a difference in us, even though we are not dressed to come to church. If we're working in our yards, the people know a difference. They see a difference in our lives. If we come to church or if we stay home, the people of this world sees a difference. We told the lady, who we were, and that we were missionaries. And we gave her a track, and she went on her way. But they're watching. This world is watching us. Is your gospel hid to where this world cannot see it? I'm not preaching lifestyle evangelism, but they're watching. God has that ministry for us tonight. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that you have given to us. Lord, that we can take your word around this world nowadays, whether it be by some missionary or go ourselves as missionaries, or right here at home in our own neighborhoods, or across town, or in another city across this United States. Lord, I thank you that we are able to go. Lord, help us realize that this world is dying and going to hell, and they need you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to not hide our ministry to ourselves. Lord, help us not hide your word. Lord, help us to shine our lights out farther than our own homes, to our families. Lord, that our light can shine across the country and then be extended around the world, whether it be by television or internet. Lord, help us to send and to be Christians and to be witnesses for you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor Weaver, if you would come.